All right, take your Bible, please, tonight. Let's go to the book of Daniel and chapter number 6 in your Bibles. The book of Daniel, chapter number 6. How many had a good day today? How many are just glad to be here? All right. Well, one way or another, you're here. Amen. And thank God. Sometimes you jump into church and sometimes you limp into church, right? Well, I guess it's important, though, that you're in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at one of the most familiar stories in all the Bible tonight. And that is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And some wonderful things that the Bible brings out that we don't always know and we don't always see. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes there are principles in the Bible that we forget about. And we always need to be reminded, especially the ones that are important. And we need to have these in our heart. We need to have these things in our heart and our mind and keep in the forefront of our mind. You know, the Jews had something they called a phylactery. A phylactery was a little box, and it was a box that contained scriptures in it, verses and sometimes passages. And they would take it and they would put it on their forehead and they would tie it around like a headband, only it was the Word of God that would be right in front of them. And the idea was is that they were to keep the Word of God in their heart all the time. Everywhere you go, everything you do in life should be guided and filtered through the Word of God. Amen? You know, when you're walking through a grocery store, you'd be surprised. Verses will pop up in your mind. You'll see somebody there that is struggling, and a verse of kindness will come to your mind. Amen? And then you'll see other people in different needs, and then you'll see somebody do something they shouldn't do, and that verse will come up, as much as possible lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, right? Or that verse, let me strike thee 3 times, you know, something like that. Sometimes those verses come into our mind. We take them out of context. But, the Word of God is to be in the front of our mind and our life, and everything in life should be filtered through God's Word. And when it is, God blesses our life. When it is, God really blesses us in great ways. And I think Daniel was that kind of Christian, as testified by the king, who was the one who actually signed that decree, putting Daniel in the lion's den. So let's begin here. Verse number 10 tonight out of God's Word. How many of you got your old-fashioned King James Bible with you? Amen. Aren't you glad you've got God's Word, God's living Word in your hand? Just think about that. We have God's living Word in our very hands. Let's begin with verse number 10 in God's Word tonight. Follow along, please, as I read. The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they, and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establish may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded him that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you for the time that we can just look at it. And Lord, sometimes on Wednesday night, folks are tired, but they're here, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we ask that, Lord, you'd help us to give spiritual attention tonight as best we can to thy word tonight. We pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would meet to us, that it would minister, Lord, to each heart and each life as we give thy word. And Lord, we don't know all the things that people go through, and in a crowd like this tonight, the things that, Lord, may be in their life. And we pray, God, that you would take thy word and just minister to them in that area of their lives. So bless, we ask, thy word tonight as we open it. For these next few moments, we'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us know this story of Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe one or two does not. But it's a wonderful story of how Daniel was this young man that had been pulled away from his home in Judah. And he had literally, as a teenager, been ripped away from his parents and brought to a strange and foreign land. He was brought into Babylon, which is a very wicked place. They did not know God. They worshipped idols, and they were not a godly people. And Daniel had already had a decision in his heart. He had already determined that he was going to be dedicated to God. And you know, I think it's important in our life to always just make that decision. I am God's. I'm dedicated to God. Before this world ever wants to grab a hold of me, my God has a hold of me. That's what we need to have in our life. Now, Daniel was that way even when he came to Babylon as an 18-year-old. Somebody told me one time, I had a man tell me one time that he believed it was good. Now, catch this. He believed that it was good that his kids sowed their wild oats while they were kids. And he actually encouraged them to sow their wild oats while they were teenagers. Can you imagine? You say, well, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what, they may never come out of it. They may never come out of it. And they may learn things, and things affect their heart and their life in those teen years that draw them away from God, and maybe they could live a godless life because of that. No, sir. I want to tell you the best way is just to start from day one, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. That's God's way. Amen. Now, Daniel is a pattern of that. He was raised by godly parents. He went to an ungodly land, not of his choosing, and when he was there, he still continued to be dedicated to his God. Now, there's an idea out there called situation ethics. Situation ethics means that whatever situation you're in, you adapt to that situation. Can I tell you what? Christians ought not follow that. Amen. Christians ought to follow what the Bible says and let it change the situation. Amen. We don't believe in situation ethics. We believe in spiritual ethics. Wherever we go, we are God's. Listen, if I find myself in one of the worst pits in the world, I'm still God's. And so are you. Amen. You're saved, you're still the Lord's. And such is the case with Daniel. And he grows up in this wicked country, but let me tell you something. Because of his testimony, he finds favor with the king. The king realizes there's something different in Daniel. Oh, listen, I thank the Lord for people that you can tell there's something different in. I love teenagers that just, there's something different in them. There's something different than all the other teenagers in the world. They just want to be dedicated to God. They love the Lord, and they cannot get comfortable in this world. You know, I don't know about you, but I just cannot get comfortable in this old world we live in. You know, we're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This isn't our home. We can't unpack yet. But one day, praise the Lord, when I get my mansion, I'm going to unpack for good. Amen. And guess what? I won't have to wash my clothes up there. Amen. Sometimes my wife gets done cleaning house. You got six baskets of laundry. I said, honey, when you get to heaven, just let the angels do it. Amen. Amen. You say, do they do the laundry in heaven? Well, the robes are white as snow. That somebody must have to do the laundry up there. Amen. But, okay, it wasn't that funny. So, all right. So, Daniel's in this situation where nobody encourages him to live for the Lord except a couple friends. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, if you've got a spiritual friend, thank God for him. You know, iron sharpens iron. Do you know that? When they take two knives and sharpen them together, it's a demonstration that iron sharpens iron. You know, two friends should be that way. You need a good Christian friend that will sharpen you in times when you may or may not feel like standing to be a Christian. Amen? You need a good Christian friend. And even if you don't have one, there are times just like this example when Daniel had to stand on his own. You know why he stood on his own? Because he loved God. He loved God. And when you love God, it has this way of coming out in you where I want to stand for God. I want the world to know that I am the Lord's and He is mine. I want the world to know that. And so Daniel comes here and he finds favor early in the king, but also some people don't like him because of that. So people are jealous of him. You know, one of the things that Christians face that they don't always think they're going to face is when you stand for the Lord because you love the Lord, and you stand for the Lord and you just want to have a testimony to the world, be ready because somebody won't like it. Somebody won't like it. I mean, we can see that pattern all throughout the Bible. I mean, David had Saul that didn't like him. The Apostle Paul, as he traveled and went from place to place, they stoned him and beat him, but he just kept on serving the Lord. Thank God for people who just keep on serving the Lord. Just keep on moving forward for the Lord. They may face some burdens and trials, but nothing gets them to quit. So I'm saying to you tonight that Daniel was like that. He grew up as a teenager, By the way, young people, the Bible says, don't let anyone despise your youth. But be thou an example of the believers. Do you know who's supposed to be the biggest example in the church? It's the teenagers. It's the young people. That's what the Bible says. Be thou an example of the believers. Amen. That's a good challenge. I didn't hear any amens from the teen section, but it's good truth. And so Daniel finds himself, he gets in the pattern of prayer. Now I want to speak about that for a little bit. He gets in the pattern of prayer. And he goes to his window every day and he opens his window and he prays. And the Bible says he thanks God. He's praying and he's thanking God every day. And how often does he do it? Three times a day. He goes to that window. He opens his window. And he wasn't doing it for a show. He wasn't doing it to show everybody how spiritual he was. He did it because he genuinely loved God. And I believe he wanted the world to see and know that there is a true and living God. Amen. I believe that he wanted people to see that God was real in his life. Because he was in Babylon, and Babylon was not a godly place. But he opens his window and he prays, and somebody doesn't like it. Oh, man, I tell you what. You know, right there sometimes a Christian will quit or they'll step back from a dedicated Christianity. They'll say, it's not really worth sticking my neck out. You know, like the turtle that was crossing the road, and he said, I don't think I'm going to stick my neck out. I almost ran over a turtle on my motorcycle the other day. Amen. I had to swerve and get him out of the way. And as I passed, he said, thank you. Amen. All right. I'm just in a funny mood tonight. Okay. So, but Daniel's praying. He says, thank you, God. You know, I believe thankfulness ought to be included in prayer. Gratitude. Thank you, Lord. What do we have to be thankful for? Number one, we have salvation to be thankful for. Amen. Salvation. God saved us. That's a miracle. But he just prayed and prayed. And the king even saw that God was real in his life. The king saw that Daniel walk with God, and he knew God, and he was real, and he loved God. Daniel didn't have any motivating factors to serve God other than the fact that he loved him, and he knew his God. And when that writing was signed, these presidents, the Bible says, they come and they get the king, and somehow they manipulate him and twist him and say, king, some people in this kingdom aren't honoring you like you should be honored. And they honor some false other idea other than you. And the king scratches his head. Yeah, that's not true. They should all be falling down and honoring me. And okay, I'm going to sign that writing. Now, that's how I think it went. But regardless, he signed that writing. And the next day, they went out. And I think they knew they would see Daniel praying just like he did every day. You know, there's something about having the same place, the same time every day. There's just something about that time when you pray, that place you pray, that time you pray. There's just something about that. So Daniel opened his window and he prayed and he thanked God. He said, God, thank you so much. What did he have to be thankful for? He lived in a wicked country. He was pulled out of his beloved country and pulled away from his parents. What did he have to be thankful for? Well, I want to tell you something. You may have negative circumstances in life, but if you have God, you have plenty to be thankful for. Plenty to be thankful for. So Daniel, he thanks God. The kings and the princes say, we caught you, Daniel. We see you praying. They took him told the king, "King, it's Daniel." And can I tell you, the king's reaction was not happy. The king was sad about that. The king was bothered because he could see that Daniel loved his God. And that wasn't a threat to the king. He could see that Daniel loved God. I think the king saw him as a blessing and that I needed you. Has anybody ever come to you and said, "Hey, I really need you to pray for me"? Yeah, I need you to pray for me. What they're saying is, I think God will answer your prayer. So there's Daniel. The king is grieved because he signed the writing, and according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it could not be changed, it could not be altered. The king had to go by his own word. So they took him, threw him in the lion's den, probably a pit, probably a hole in the ground, and they put a seal over the top, and they put him down there. Can I tell you, what does the Bible say that Daniel did while he was down there? The Bible tells us and reminds us that when Daniel was down there, he got down in the den. You know what he did? He prayed. He prayed. Can I tell you, prayer is what we need in our life. Amen. And I don't think we pray enough. Yeah. And you know, I think we really don't believe prayer is what God wants us. I don't think we believe in prayer. Because if we really did, we'd be praying a whole lot more. But Daniel believed in prayer. Daniel believed, if I just go to God and I'll pray, God will change things. And you know, this is an example through great men through history who have prayed and God did great things and changed great things through their prayer. Even Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War said this. He said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." You know what he was saying? I need to pray. I need to pray. Christian, things in our lives, we need to be praying. Asking God to do great things in our lives. We need to be praying about these burdens and praying about our needs. You know, God commanded us to pray. He didn't make it a suggestion. God said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's a command of God. And Daniel knew it. Daniel got a hold of it. And man, it changed his relationship with the king, his relationship, and his Christianity was seen in his prayers. You know, there's sometimes Christians, sometimes even great Christians that we call great, or, you know, missionaries, or great godly people that we know, they believe in prayer, and they know that prayer works if you're a child of God. I heard about Hudson Taylor one time, and he was asked if he ever prayed without any consciousness of joy. And he said, often, he says, "Sometimes I pray on with my heart feeling like wood. He said, often, too, the most wonderful answers have come when prayer has been a real effort of faith without any joy whatever." You know what he was saying? He's saying, "Sometimes I don't feel like praying." He said, "But I'm going to pray anyway." Well, I'll tell you what, that is growth in prayer. Is when we pray and we don't even feel like praying. But you know, Hudson Taylor said, "Some of the greatest things that God did for me came when I prayed and I didn't really feel like it." Boy, it's a lesson for us to learn, Christian, is to just keep on praying. You know that lost loved one that you prayed for again and again, and it just doesn't seem like God answers that prayer? Can I encourage you, keep praying. just keep praying. Just keep on praying. Don't forget about them. See, this is what Daniel did. And I believe this was the key to his testimony, and this is the key to why God blessed him so much, is because he was willing to pray and to stand for God when nobody around him was standing. You know, that's what every Christian ought to learn, is wherever we are, we ought to stand for the Lord and stand for God. Sometimes a teenager will go in a place where there's a lot of unsaved or ungodly teenagers, and that influence will affect them to be pulled in to become like them. But may I tell you what? Daniel demonstrated a different kind of Christianity. He demonstrated a type of Christianity that says, you know what? I'm the Lord's. I'm God's. I'm going to be God's. Sometimes when I'm in a good crowd, sometimes when I'm in a bad crowd. You know, it's easy to be a good Christian when you're around other Christians. But you know, it's a lot harder when you're in a place where there are very few Christians, or when there's a negative Christian influence. But Daniel just kept on standing for the Lord. He just kept on praying. And you know, prayer is a picture of how we're standing for the Lord. Prayer is a picture of how we are standing for the Lord. He prays. They take him. They throw him in a lion's den. You know, there was nobody else with him down in that pit except for one. You know who was with him down there? Angel of the Lord was with him. God said, all right, if you're going to stand for me, I'm going to send someone to stand with you. And as someone once said, that Daniel would rather be a night in the lion's den than be without a day of prayer. There he was, down in there, but he was never, ever alone. Notice, the Bible tells us there was a king, or there was an angel, verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I believe there's special protection. I mean, God protects all of his Christians, and we're all in his hand. Don't get me wrong, but I believe there's special protection for those that stand for God. And those that say, I'm on God's side wholeheartedly. I don't care what comes. I don't care what happens. I'm going to just serve the Lord as best of my ability. And I'm going to have focus. You know, it's like the horse. Those horses, they put blinders on them. They put those blinders on their side so they don't get distracted, so that they can keep running that race and keep going forward. And you know, the Bible in some respects is like these blinders. It helps us not be distracted. Helps us not to have to look at the world and what's going on in the world. It helps keep our eyes focused on God so we can run our race. And God sent this angel to Daniel, and this angel shut the lion's mouth. They got lockjaw, my preacher used to say. I mean, that angel just super glued their teeth together. Shut their mouths. They could not harm or hurt them. You know, when you and I pray, and we pray with this spirit like Daniel of Lord, I'm yours. I'm dedicated to you. Whatever, Lord, you want me to do in life, I'm yours. I'm going to just keep on pleasing God and serving God, even down here in this lion's den. And, you know, if God wants a lion to tear me to pieces, oh, well, that's in God's hand. God will take care of it. But whatever God wants, that's what I want in life. Now, can you say that in the trials of life that you face? Do we sometimes compromise our dedicated spirit to the Lord when we get in places, tough places in our Christian life where we think we have to compromise so that the best result will come in a situation for us? You know, Christians like Daniel in the Bible, they didn't make decisions that way. They made decisions knowing that God was true, that God was real, and they were going to be dedicated to Him. And whatever path He led them down, they were just going to stay faithful to God, stay loyal to Him, stay on God's team. And you know, I believe that when we as God's people make our decisions that way, we dedicate our heart to the Lord every day, that there's going to be this amazing spirit rise within us that says, I can serve the Lord, I can be a conqueror in this life. You know, that's what Jesus told us to be. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. And you know, this old devil, he's trying to pull us down. The world, the devil, and the flesh are always trying to leave us defeated, depleted, destroyed. But my God is the one who sent the angel to protect Daniel right in the midst of the battles. And you know, that's the type of Christianity we need today. I think that's missing. Our forefathers used to teach that and preached on that. But you know, it seems like many times we want this convenient Christianity. If it's convenient to serve the Lord, I'll serve the Lord. If I get something out of it, then I'll serve the Lord. If everything works out according to my plan, then I'm going to serve the Lord. No, that's not the spirit that God wants us to have. And that's certainly not the spirit that Daniel had. Daniel said, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what happens in life. I'm going to serve you no matter who likes it or who doesn't like it. I'm just going to keep on pleasing you. I'm just going to keep on serving you. Well, I want to tell you something. Because of that spirit, there was some good results that happened in Daniel's life. I want you to see, first of all, verse 16. Notice the reaction of the king. And I'm going to do what Brother Reed did here, and I'm going to grab a swig of this water, all right? Oh, eat your hearts out. That was good. All right, notice verse number 16. It says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, now watch what he said. He said, thy God, whom thou servest, what's the next word? Continually. He will deliver thee. Now that wasn't Daniel saying it. That was the wicked king of Babylon. That was Darius. He said, I know your God will deliver you. Man, what a testimony. Now where did he come up with that? Where do you think he learned? He must have seen Daniel's testimony time and time again. He must have seen Daniel pray and Daniel stand for the Lord, and all the way back to the time when he was a teenager, he must have seen and known that Daniel was dedicated to God. And he said, that God who you serve continually. See, it was a testimony to that king, wasn't it? I think the king was probably a little bit jealous because he said, I wish I knew that king like you knew that king. Oh, let me tell you something. He can know that king just like Daniel knew that king. He can know him. Anybody in the world who wants him can know him. But the king knew that Daniel was serving God continually, and he said, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. What a testimony of a king to be able to say those words. What a testimony of Daniel to be able to say those words. All night long, the king tossed and turned in his bed. He couldn't sleep. He fasted, the Bible says. No music. His sleep went from him. And the king arose the early and the next morning. He went in haste unto the den of lions. He says, I got to run down there to the den of lions. Verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest, what's the word again? Continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I think he was waiting and pausing. Is there a voice down there? Am I going to hear anything from Daniel? And Daniel pipes up these words, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You know, Daniel was proud here of the fact that he had kept his testimony in a time when he could have shown great fear, in a time when he could have backed away and said, okay, all right, I won't pray anymore. Whatever you guys want, just keep me out of that lion's den. He could have made that choice, couldn't he? But you know, the choice he made was this choice that says, God, you're mine in the good, you're mine in the bad. I'm just going to hang on to you, and I'm going to trust you. And God said, I think I'll just send an angel to be a help to you. I think I'll just send an angel down there to encourage you, to be with you. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. And you know, in the end, God honored Daniel all the more. God blessed him all the more. You know, it seems like the pattern for Christians is they go through trials and then face the blessings afterwards, when we want the blessings first and the trials sometimes down the road. But I'll tell you what. Be thankful sometimes, like Paul said, for those trials. Be thankful for those troubles we go through. Those troubles are making us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are tests for God to see if we are really going to hold on to him. And may I tell you what? God wants us to pass those tests. You know what? If we pass those tests, the Lord will say, good job. Good job. And Daniel was promoted again in the kingdom. And you know what? Even in the rest of the book of Daniel is amazing, because God used Daniel to tell him the king's dream and for it to be a prophecy of what God is going to do in the future. And much of the book of Daniel has not even yet been fulfilled. There's still much in there that God is still going to do. And God knew that he could give that to a faithful man. Hey, what can God give you in accordance to your faithfulness? What would God put in your lap in accordance to your faithfulness to him? God wants to look down on our lives and see vessels that he can take and fill and use, because he's got a purpose for us. He's got a purpose. He's just looking for a man that he can fulfill that purpose in, who's wholly dedicated to God. You know, one of the great missionaries of the time past, I can't remember who said this, but he said, the world has little seen nor yet heard what God can do with one man wholly committed to him. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a challenge in our lives as we look into the life of Daniel to say, Lord, I want to be like Daniel. I want to dare to be like Daniel. I want to be that person in prayer. I want to be that one who can see God work through me and through the lives of so many others. Hey, you know, if nothing else, Daniel's life changed a king, an old, ungodly, wicked king, Darius. God changed his heart and made him realize that there is a true and a living God in this world because of the testimony of one man. Well, that ought to challenge us. Amen? That ought to make us say, all right, that's what I want. I want to be that type of godly Christian who prays and has this testimony in the world. And when bad times come, I'm just going to keep on following the same path, keep those blinders on. I'm not going to let the world or troubles or trials distract me. I'm not going to let some person negatively affect me. I'm just going to keep on serving God. Just keep on going forward till the day Jesus comes. And that's what Daniel's life is about. And can I tell you today, as we close, this is the challenge of our life. In the world we live in, it's getting worse and worse. Many of you work in workplaces, and many of you will go to a workplace tomorrow, and they are not kind. They don't treat you right. Or they may say negative connotations to you or about you. Can I tell you what? Remember something. You're serving Jesus. You're serving the Lord. He is your king. He's the one that died for you on that cross. Just keep your heart and your mind in tune on him and let him be glorified in your life, just like Daniel did. Can we say that tonight? Are we that way? Maybe we ought to ask God to make us that kind of prayer person. Ask God to make us that kind of Christian who can really stand for God. And ask that Christian, be that kind of Christian who, when we go through trials, it doesn't shake us away from God, but it draws our heart closer, closer and closer to God. The more the furnace gets hot, the closer we get to God. That's the way. Let's be that kind of Christian. Let's be that kind that Daniel.